I'm sitting in my very, it's not super clean, but it's tidy clean apartment surrounded by a bunch of scented candles. I bought a 90-hour burner today at Marshall's. I'm very excited. Wow. It's almond butter scented. Next to me is oats and honey. Behind me is a pumpkin. Behind that is a cashmere vanilla that I left on. I had it on Friday, forgot to blow it out, and it was still going I came back here on Saturday.
Wow.
Shacker problems, and I took battery out of my smoke detector because I was setting it off while cooking.
Nice.
So I could have burned down the whole building.
Could have.
I took the battery out of my smoke detector because it was beeping, and I was I mean, I changed the battery the next day, but like in the middle of the night, it just started doing the beep.
Yeah. That's also the ringtone of living in the suburbs. It's just the beep.
Yes. Speaking of living in the suburbs, it's like a little Orland Park reunion here on the 50 Worst Dates podcast.
It is. I'd like to think that a small portion, if not a large portion of our listenership comes from Orland Park, Illinois.
Most likely.
You know what? So they might be pretty fucking stoked about this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Because we have, actually, I got dinner with Matt. My ex-boyfriend, for the listeners out there, the only Matt that I talk about.
The one that I've decided to stop bleeping out.
Yeah, I told him that.
Oh, you bleeped out his name?
Yeah. Before? We usually bleep out everyone's name unless they are like totally cool with it. But he laughed when I told him that. I was like, yeah, I talk about you so much, we don't even bleep your name. And he was like, that's rad. But
I mean, you also don't say bad things about him, so I don't feel obligated.
True. So
like if I was going to say something bad about someone, we bleep your name, or even if it's not like overwhelmingly positive.
That's fair. Yeah. So he just started grad school. I'm not going to say where, because I'm not trying to like have people pinpoint down, because, you know, we're so famous that people are going to hunt down my ex-boyfriend.
Look at every Matt listed.
Where this New Zealander that goes to whatever school. No.
Honestly, if there was some crazy girl in the major metropolitan area in which she now lives who was like, I want to date a New Zealander who fucks around with crazy a little bit. It's not that insane. We could get Matt laid off the podcast is what I'm saying.
I mean, you're not wrong.
But also, we should get laid first. I haven't gotten laid because of this podcast yet, guys.
I didn't finish my story. He met two people from Orland Park, and one of them went to Sandberg and is like, I think is Leanna's age, but he couldn't remember her name.
Is it a person with pink hair?
No, it's not her. Because he said that she was really weird, and I was like, definitely not this super cool person that we know.
I love that person.
But she also doesn't go to school anymore. So, but yeah, it was super bizarre. And I was really creeped out because I'm like, you are not close to Chicago, Illinois. And
this world's too small.
It really is. And he apparently was like, so I know your town because I dated your mayor's daughter.
Oh, my God.
Way to just, like, drop that off the bat, Matt. Really establish dominance.
Right? Yeah. Like, like when you say the movie, like, went on a date with a president's daughter or whatever it was. Yeah. Or my date with the president's daughter.
It's ultimate clout. Ultimate Orland Park clout. Orland Park mayor's daughter.
It's pretty
clout.
Pretty hysterical. But so this is the 50 Worst Dates podcast, where we talk about sex, dating, and all other shenanigan type things. My name's Amanda
Peacock. And our hometown.
Yeah, in our hometown. My name's Amanda Peacock.
My name's Katie Coyle.
And with us today, we have someone who is just a spectacular human who we have known for almost a decade. This person is also my stalker, because not only are we from the same hometown, but she also went to the same college and was in the exact same accelerated nursing program as me, just a couple years behind. And it is the one and only phenomenal Leanna
Tenuta. Hi. Hello, it's me.
And now we actually were not close in high school. I don't even think we're friends at all, really.
No.
And
I remember you being friends with and knowing people that I was suddenly very much not friends with. So yeah.
Yeah, I remember being friends with people that you were not friends with.
Yep. Those same people hated me too, so it's fine. But whatchamacallit. Now Leanna and I are very close. She yes. is a spectacular human.
And I followed her to work too.
You did.
Oh yeah, I did now a really good job.
We work at this on the same unit and it's pretty phenomenal to be honest. It's brought us together.
Yay friends.
So we're having stalking. A little Orland Park reunion. So today we've got a very interesting topic that I think is also very important.
Yeah, we talk a lot of big game about being two white girls who really need other people to come on and explain their experience because we have no clout in not being white women. it came up today on my Facebook or whatever feed. Chelsea Handler has a new show on Netflix that's called Chelsea and Privilege or something, and it's her talking. The ad was her talking to her high school boyfriend who is black. She's clearly very white, and so I became a TV star and comedian and author. You went to jail for heroin. Tell me about that. So we're trying to not do that exactly. Yeah. Mostly because none of my exes are in jail, and only one of them is black. So hello, Leanna.
Hi, I will clarify for the listeners, I'm Filipino-American, so if you can't hear my Asian-ness, I am Asian.
Yeah, I mean, you can't tell that on this
apparently
at all.
No. You can't hear color.
Motherfucker. But we are talking about, a little bit of, dating and race, but also how, people of color or any kind of walk of life, sexuality, orientation, gender nonconforming qualifier, those people aren't kinks. We talked about kinks 2 weeks ago for you guys. Those are kinks. People aren't kinks.
Well, yeah. And especially when it comes to the fetishization, what a word, of people, especially the fact that it is pretty historically known that Asian women are very fetishized.
You're a whole category on Pornhub. How does that feel?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So today we are specifically going to talk about how you can't quantify human beings because we made it clear that a fetish is a sexual, what is the word?
A preference? Fetish and a kink are two very different things.
No. But a fetish is
something
sexualization. Yes, it's something you can't finish without. But it's a sexualization of a non-living thing.
Oh, okay. I actually didn't know that.
So it can be a body part, which is technically
foot
living.
Is what I mostly hear about. Yeah,
but it can't be a type of person. You can't be wow, I can't finish if it's not a fucking Asian woman.
Oh, God.
That's just you can't have a fetish when it comes to people.
Yeah.
No.
And if you do, you're racist.
Listen, people and cultures are not Halloween costumes, right. And they're also not fetishes. So,
which is such a weird thing, too, because people try to argue that they're not racist because they have a preference. They kind of turn around the prejudice and say that, oh, no, I'm not racist. I love Asian girls.
I'm not racist because I will fuck you.
Yeah, what? Oh, wow, I'm so grateful.
Thanks.
Thank you, white man that plays too many video games. I don't know what I would do if you didn't want to fuck me. Weird.
It's so strange. I don't think I realized it until I went to college either. Because compared to a lot of other schools that people from our university went to, the school that we went to, the high school we went to, was a lot more diverse which is weird.
Yeah.
Weird to think about. It's still majority white.
Yeah.
But I never felt singled out for being Asian there.
Huh.
I really never did. And I had a lot of Asian friends, a lot of white friends, a lot of POCs that weren't Asian.
Yeah.
So like, not that I didn't see color, but like it just wasn't an issue to me. But
I then didn't when have I a prom date because I wasn't Asian. I asked a guy to prom because we were both single in our prom group. And then he came back to me 2 days later and he's like, my parents really would prefer if I went with an Asian girl.
Was he Asian?
Wait, was he Asian?
Yeah.
Oh.
We weren't even friends. We were just like neighbors and like in the same group. And I was like, we'll take pictures together.
Oh my goodness.
I'm stalking him.
See, that's Facebook another now. Thing too, is the whole Asian parents preferring Asians for their children, which my parents never did. Well, maybe they are, but they're just not saying it, so that I end up doing it anyway. That's how I became a nurse. Literally how I became a nurse. Like they said it, like they maybe said be a nurse once.
They planted the seed.
And then like after I finished nursing school, they were like, we always knew you would do it. I was like, what?
We knew if we said it a million times while you were an infant, you would absorb it and then go in that direction later. And if we just said it once when you were in the seventh grade, you'd do it.
Yes.
Yeah. You're Filipino, so you got to fulfill those stereotypes.
I did.
Being a nurse.
You either die a villain or live long enough to see yourself become a nurse. Hey.
That's the cold open. So that's done.
Wow.
I mean, we're already in the podcast mode, so we're just going to get into it. But yeah, after this break, guys, because we take breaks, remember, we're going to get into just like talking about shit and shooting the shit. And yeah, we'll see how this episode goes because we didn't play a lot. But BRB, everybody, listen to this lovely ad.
Welcome back to our channel.
Welcome back to the channel. I'm a glass of wine in, and we're ready to ask some questions to our resident Asian person.
Ooh. Yay. Love being the token one.
Right?
It's great.
Yeah, unfortunately, you are the token today, and I don't mean to play like that. And yeah, so Leanna's opinions and things are not a complete answer for anyone of an Asian race.
Oh, I don't answer for all people of color, for all Asians, for all Filipinos, for all queer people. I am not everyone. I am me. Okay. So before you angrily comment, I'm me. Thanks.
Beautifully said.
Thanks.
But before we kind of dive right in, I wanted to give everyone a little refresher of the Merriam-Webster's dictionary. Except I got most of these from Wikipedia. So
Merriam-Webster defines fucking as.
So a couple weeks ago, we dropped our episode on kinks, which was with the beloved Brianna. And so I wanted to clarify some of those definitions that I brought up at the beginning of that episode, just to remind people, we kind of touched on it in the intro. But to get more specific before we dive into how, you know, you can't fetishize humans. I've got three cute little words for you. And Rocky has potentially lots of things to say. He's sitting right next to us. So Lord knows we'll hear some dog noises.
You know, have you noticed
you can hear him breathing.
Have you noticed in the episode, like, summary most of the time, I say featuring Rocky Peacock?
Oh, I like it with the last name. That's cute.
That is cute.
Yeah, he shows up. He every time he goes, he gets a call out.
He's here to say hi.
Hi, Rocky. Rocky's a dog, guys. Thank you, everyone. Rocky does not speak for all dogs, canines, animals, pets, or large dogs that could be crated and have to be stowed in the bottom section of the airplane. Like,
Yeah. Okay. So the first word we have here is kink. So to remind people, kink in human sexuality, kinkiness, is any unconventional sexual practice, concept, or fantasy. So the term derives from the idea of a bend, a kink, in one's sexual behavior, to contrast such behavior with straight or vanilla sexual mores and proclivities. The term kink has been claimed by some who practice sexual fetishism as a term or synonym for their practices, indicating a range of sexual and sexualistic practices from playful to sexual objectification and certain paraphilias.
Mm-hmm.
So some common kinks are impact play, role play, booty play, golden showers or scat. Rocky likes that one. Sensation play, orgasm control or edging, bondage, and voyeurism. Yeah.
In the context of this episode, I just had the thought of how like Anglo-oriented our language is, that like straight and kink are like opposite of one another, right. And like Anglo-Saxon white people who have ruled the world via the British Empire for a million years normally have really straight hair, and that's considered normal. And like, remember like maybe 5 years ago where there was a comment over like the consistency of a black female volleyball team or basketball team's hair, and like kinky is used to describe black hair. Isn't that weird? Isn't that fucking weird and awful, kind of?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
so there's your food for your thought, or your glass of wine for your thought, because I'm a one in.
Yeah. And then we'll move into a fetish. So a kink is kind of the umbrella term. A fetish or sexual fetishism or erotic fetishism is a sexual fixation on a non-living object or non-genital body part. The object of interest is called the fetish. The person who has the fetish for the object is a fetishist.
Fetishist.
Yeah. A sexual fetish may be regarded as a non-pathological aid to sexual excitement, or it has formerly been classified as a mental disorder if it causes significant psychosocial distress for the person, like pedophiles. Or, well, you can't sexualize humans, so that's just a weird sexual preference that's super fucked up that we talked about in kinks. It's not cool. And has detrimental effects on important areas of their life. So sexual arousal from a particular body part can be further classified as partialism. So a fetish, according to sexologist and psychologist Denise Rain, a fetish is typically referred to as behavior that someone cannot get sexually aroused without. Fetishes can also be a term people use to describe a sexual arousal that's coupled with a typically non-sexual object. So whereas kinks are like salt, they simply add the flavor, fetishes are like the food itself. So without them, there is no meal.
So good. Such a good thing.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So the most common one, and Leanna kind of brought it up, was feet. That's what a lot of people
think
of.
That's what I think of.
But when it talks to about becoming like a mental disorder, that is like people who it like consumes their life. The ones who are on, you know, My Strange Addiction because they're addicted with like being babies.
Or they're dating blow up animals.
Yeah. Things like that.
The guy who was dating pool toys. Yeah. Fucked up.
Yeah. So a fetish is a type of kink, but a kink isn't always a fetish. And it's important to remember that living things,
you can fuck another living thing and still come.
Yeah.
You don't need an organism for the orgasm.
Hey!
I'm so turtle!
There you go.
There you go.
That is a great episode title.
I'm gonna keep that one in my back pocket.
Yes. So, yeah, and Rocky's licking the couch now. That's his fetish. He loves that couch, though. And the last and final definition, which I figured mine as well, we're not really going to touch much, I think, on the BDSM community, but is BDSM, which is a modern acronym used to refer to the kink and fetish communities and activities. So the letters stand for many different things, including bondage and discipline, dominance and submission, sadomasochism, sadism and masochism, and slave master. So it involves an erotic power exchange through dominance and submission. That's the big thing with BDSM. So BDSM is kinky, but not all kinks fall under the BDSM umbrella. So the BDSM community is a umbrella of its own, but everything within BDSM is a kink. So yeah, those are kind of our little definitions, and it's important to note that all sexualities and all sexual expressions are valid, as long as they're consensual, not harmful, like i.e. pedophilia. I will stand by my philosophy that any pedophile who thinks that that's a valid sexual orientation is in need of severe help.
Yeah, and even if you don't, you're still in need of severe help.
Yeah.
You're a pedophile. You need help.
So there is that. I just needed to clarify that because, you know, there might be someone out there who listens and is like, finally.
Yeah.
We are. We're accepted, right? And no.
Or maybe there's someone out there who's listening who's just an older man looking at younger women and taking them out to bars when they shouldn't legally be there.
Who are we? I mean, that's not. She's
just fire. I'm gonna make like a radio sound noise that's like boom boom, shots fired.
That might be too triggering though, considering the fact how many fucking shootings we have in this country.
Yeah, I don't want to like trigger people, but like
I'll just cut
maybe
out.
Maybe it will just literally be me going boom boom, shots fired.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That's acceptable. No one will be confused, but they'll get the idea.
The Star Wars noise. Pew pew.
Pew pew. Shots fired. That's good. I'll see if we can legally get that. I'll talk to my people at Disney and see how that goes.
I'm here for it. So with that, I guess we can kind of... How well can you hear me, Katie?
I can hear you very well.
Good.
How well can you hear me?
Very well. I just want to make sure that we are sounding crisp and clear.
Yeah, crisp and clear.
Crisp and clear in the Peacock household.
Mm-hmm.
Damn,
right. Honey, what do you eat?
Yeah, so I guess we can just dive right into this little Q&A sesh with Leanna as she gets lick attacked by my dog.
Yeah, so we're going to ask Leanna a bunch of questions and hope this goes somewhere, because we as two white ladies didn't really want to prepare a conversation or like really submit things. Because this is not our fucking business. We're here to learn as much as you guys on the other end of this are.
Amazing.
So we're going to take a back seat today, you know? Yeah. This is going to be more serious than when we interviewed the Babadook, but still fun. He's very spooky. Okay. He sounds like Werner Herzog. So Leanna, starting with... What do you identify as? Who are you? Why are you an expert for this show?
So I am Leanna. Hi. I am a coworker of Amanda's, lifelong stalker, decade-long stalker. That's a pretty long time. I am Asian American, Filipino. I identify as bisexual, pan. I'm definitely comfortable with the bisexual label. And like dipping into the pan. I don't know how to explain that better, but that is what it is.
It's your identity.
What I am. And I really like the bisexual flag. It's really cute. So that.
Rocking.
It's got the fun colors.
I really like how like the term queer is all encompassing, because that is much more close to what I am. It's just queer, like not straight for sure. Mm-hmm. So, and why I'm an expert, because I've been Asian my whole fucking life and had
really?
To this bullshit. Yeah, you can't hear
color. You guys are joking that you're good at math for your whole life.
Oh yeah, all 22 years.
They're like, she's so good at math.
Yeah, I know, get that shit too. It's a fun time.
Yeah. What is your least favorite Asian stereotype, and what is your favorite if you had to pick one?
So least favorite would probably be like all the abilities that I don't have. Like I can't do martial arts. I'm not all of East Asia. I actually had a patient ask me if I spoke the main Asian language.
Yep.
Because apparently,
which one, bitch?
I was like, there's only one, right? So I don't have that capability. I'm not a, I forget what it's called, but it's like the geisha. I'm not a geisha stereotype. I'm none of that.
You're not Chinese.
So. I'm not Chinese. I'm not Japanese. Yeah. I'm not East Asian.
Wait, are geishas Japanese?
Japanese.
Fuck.
I am not East Asian. I am Southeast Asian. So that's another thing. But a lot of people do say I look Chinese, which is also fucked up because to Filipinos, that's better than looking Filipino. Okay, Rocky, that's fine. Just sit on me.
Rocky just
But my favorite is that I can do math and that I'm smart, because it leads to good assumptions about me and people thinking I'm smarter than I actually am. Like, that's fine.
Okay.
Physical ability, no, none of that.
Yeah. That's fair. That's fucking fair.
Yeah.
Like, not all stereotypes are bad, but also I feel like there are some like serious low-key stereotypes. Like, obviously, like being good at math is a major one, or like,
right.
But like, I don't know, you knowing a doctor or probably knowing someone who like owns a restaurant, is that the worst thing in the world?
No. There's a certain doctor that I'm really having to know who is also Asian. So,
she's in love with,
but probably gonna delve into that later. Probably,
like it's only just recently come out that white people don't season their food, and I'm like, it's been like this the whole time, guys. You should have been roasting us for it the whole time.
Article.
My dad eats salad without dressing like a criminal.
What?
Like this is shit white people do. It's insane.
Is he okay? Like.
My brother to this day thinks pepper is spicy, like salt and pepper. Oh, that's goodness. Too much.
Nah,
that hurts me.
It's absurd. White people, bad. Man.
Yeah,
we'll get you.
But
so,
we'll get you. Wait, no, don't say that.
Can confirm white people.
I don't want this to become a right wing podcast, Amanda. Do not do that to us.
This has some
BRB while I go dig my own fucking grave.
Yeah, the Alex Jones people are going to start listening to us. We don't need that. We're crazy, but not like that.
I didn't mean that in that way.
We're going to get you.
We'll get you.
Amanda Peacock, 2019. We'll quote you.
Damn it. There's so much PR I gotta go do. Damn it. Damn, y'all. But yeah. All right, Leanna. So being a token in multiple ways, because you are not only Asian, which is severely underrepresented, and you are bisexual, which is severely underrepresented, and then you're a woman.
Yeah.
And then you're a woman in like a sciencey profession.
Yeah, that's me.
Holy shit. You check a lot of boxes. Have you ever been in a position where someone was clearly into you or trying to fuck you or date you or whatever because of your race or sexual orientation?
So a lot of the times it doesn't come overtly. Like it'll be, okay, like we were.
Like you get Jack to his apartment and he's just got one of those pillows with the Japanese anime painted on it. Like, oh God, another one.
Like, so I was at a party in, at SLU, or if you say what university you go to. And there was this guy, I was like trying to get over my ex, my very white ex, and just, you know, speaking Spanish all over the place because I do that when I'm drunk. Met a guy who's like, he was Latino. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, not another white guy. So that we were talking it up and then like we made out. And at the middle of it, he stops and he goes, wow, you're so exotic.
No.
In the middle of it. And we're at a point, I was like, I just started laughing and I like didn't know how to react to that. I was like, what?
What?
And then I left because I was like, I'm not a rug. Like, yeah. I don't even know where I couldn't. It's like one of those things where it's like, I can't even begin to tell you how wrong you are. Like, that's not, I'm not a rug. Mm-hmm. I'm not an animal.
And honestly, if he was Latino, you'd hope another person of color exactly. would be like, oh, no, you've seen this. You know, you know that's shitty, right?
Exactly. That's what it got me. I was like, wow, it is really that widespread that Asians are such others, that we're still exotic, even though I was born here. Still exotic. Always, like, you know? And that's, like, one of the harmful stereotypes that's so much more comes in the form of, like, microaggressions. Like, he didn't mean to be aggressive. Like, that was supposed to be a compliment.
Right.
That was supposed to be a compliment.
Yeah, you're not honored about being
No, exotic, apparently not. All Chicago. That family honor didn't just run off for that comment.
Don't bring honor to us all by being exotic.
Right. And, like, it's, like, hard because what we were saying, like, there are positive stereotypes about being Asian, but as I'm sure you guys are probably aware, and maybe some listeners aren't, like, the issue with being Asian and having those quote-unquote positive stereotypes is, like, the negative backlash from the model minority. Being the model minority, being, like, the best minority, whatever the fuck that means. Mm-hmm. And then getting, you know, less likely to get into med schools and stuff like that, or, like, just always being seen as other, no matter how many times or how long we've been in this country, no matter how many generations have lived here or how hard your family has worked, you're still Asian, you're still other. Like, people at SLU before I got there had never seen an Asian person before. Like, that was just a revelation to me.
So
the answer to that question
is to grow up.
I know. A lot of people, I feel like a lot of people, a lot more people I ran into at SLU came from rural areas because Missouri is majority rural. And then, like, if you live near Chicago, you're going to go somewhere that's not Missouri.
Yeah.
So, so it's like, it's not their fault. And sometimes people literally just don't know any better. So that's where the education comes in, where it's like, no, there is not one main Asian language, you know, it's, there's more than one.
Yes, you know, we have the Asian Congress, and they're like, we're all going to speak Asian.
That would be... I wish I spoke Asian. Wouldn't that be great?
You just
spoke all Asian languages? That'd be great. But no. Yeah. So the answer is yes. People have been, in quote-unquote, into me because of my race. And I did send you a screenshot, too.
You did.
Someone on Tinder who super liked me. And it literally said, swipe right if you're a Zane, A-S-A-I-N. And I'm like, girl, if you're trying to rope us into there, you better spell it right.
Yeah.
Like, you can't even spell Asian.
Right.
So it's like, and then at times it's like, do you only like me because of that? And then at other times it's like, do you not like me because I'm Asian? It's become so much more evident to me in the past literally 5 years of my life that I am Asian and that I am other at times. And, like, I'm so proud of it. Like, I'm so proud of being Asian. I'm so proud of being Filipino. But at a lot of times it's like so subtly woven into society that I'm different than other people. Which, a lot more eloquent than I thought it was.
Yeah, very well spoken.
Wow.
So
tearing at my heartstrings. Yeah.
With that, you know, like, how has your experience been different between men and women in terms of this?
Yeah, because that person on Tinder was a woman. That's Amanda, 21, and she says that her booty is going to be better than yours, but swipe right, like, she'll fuck you if you're Asian.
Yeah, that's so strange. Like, I totally get preferences. Okay, that's something we definitely have to talk about, is the difference between, like, the preference and the fetish, because there are people who prefer, like, I preferred to be with white guys. I did not fetishize white guys. Like, that, I mean, that's the past. Like, that's not me anymore. But
Like there's a difference between I only date Asian girls and like, oh, I have dated Asian girls. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I also think it's crazy to be like, I have a preference for white guys when white guys are significantly more of the population. Like, statistically,
it's a weird thing. Yeah.
I feel like it's a white dude.
Deep seated stuff.
I think it's also more of just like, that's just historically who you date.
That was exactly, that was just what I was exposed to for high school, a lot of high school. Like, I was exposed to mostly white guys. So.
As I've mentioned on this podcast many a times, not even myself, I have a preference for foreign boys.
Foreign boys.
But I do not fetishize foreign men.
Which does happen a lot.
It does.
But yeah. Your panties just shoot across the room if you have an accent.
As long as there's an accent.
I mean, I'll fuck you, but like.
But I don't need.
But I don't need it to have
don't
an
need
organism.
The organism for
me. I'm whispering sweet nothings with like a nice Scottish accent or something. Like, Amanda's not going to complain.
Speaking of Scottish, the first guy I ever made out with was a Scottish boy who's actually the brother
of my best friend. Shout out. She's probably going to listen to this and be like, oh man, she's going to listen.
TBT.
Yeah.
If you're listening, your brother.
Oh, wait, I do know who this is.
Yep. If you're listening, your brother was my first makeout sesh, and it.
He's such a tiny head.
But I was so smitten with him because I was like,
he talks Scotland. Different.
He sounds different.
Yeah.
And I was what? 14 or 15.
And you say they can't hear color.
Yeah. He's a white boy, though.
Yeah.
Right. I can hear really pale and kind of moody when I hear.
Moody.
I am from Scotland. Scotland, Scotland, Scotland. Model UN. That just sounds like a sea captain. But yeah, the same thing.
Wow.
Same thing.
But yeah, so my experience with men and women, I feel like it's really strange because with men, I have only dated white guys. That actually, yeah, I've only been in committed relationship with white guys, partly because that's just what I've been exposed to. But with women, I actually, this is going to make me laugh to say, I do actually have a preference for other Asian women, which, okay.
But like being Asian, you're allowed to.
Right. And it's not like I have some, I feel like it has also come out of like me appreciating more of my own culture and more of people having a shared experience with me. Whereas when I have dated white guys in the past, it's been like, it's literally felt like, wow, he's a white guy and he likes me. Like it feels like some sort of badge of honor or something exciting that a white guy actually likes me, which is weird because we're also fetishized, but it's kind of a sad,
it's kind of fucked up
thing. Yeah. And
that's
I think that's common
with Asian, like a sign of the white patriarchy.
Yeah. It literally is, like, especially the whole white savior thing, because I think that is common with some Asian girls too.
That's just part of, what is that term? That's like, ancestral trauma. I know that people kind of talk about it, especially with like the African American community and slavery and things like that, and like colonization, is that they still have people who have obviously never experienced slavery in their own life still have that trauma because like ancestrally that's what happened to their family, things like that, and so there's like trauma with that. And so I think to a degree, maybe that feeling of you needing, or not needing, but like that badge of honor, like, oh, wow.
A white guy. Yeah.
Yeah. A white guy likes me is kind of like that ancestral trauma, because people from Asia were considered exotic and they were treated lesser than and all of this shit. So it's like, oh, wow, the white man, he wants to be with me.
Right.
And
especially because the Philippines was colonized by Spaniards.
Yeah.
And the whole white savior thing with the U.S. quote unquote coming to save us. But that's like a whole other podcast. But yeah.
That's a politics podcast or
his that's podcast. That's a whole other. Right.
Yeah.
So I think that on the 4th of July.
So I think that absolutely makes sense. Mm-hmm. And
But I mean, it's still fucked up nonetheless.
Do you think your interest in dating other Asian women may stem from you wanting, like, having that shared experience even in the LGBTQ kind of
thing? Yes, I think that is a really huge thing for me because, actually, a little plug, I am trying to start, like, a QTPOC collective in St. Louis. It's a very specific community, but being a white queer is drastically different than being a QPOC. Like, it's just...
Could you clarify what QPOC is?
Queer people of color. Yeah. Queer people of color. It's just... there's just different issues that come with it, you know? And especially, like, involving family and things like that. Mm-hmm. And there's different things that... not necessarily to talk about, but different things you don't even have to explain with people that have that shared experience. And that's not even necessarily, like, an Asian or a queer thing. That's just, like, one thing that... is nice about dating people who are similar to you or have been through similar things to you than with you. There's, like, one YouTuber I would like to plug. Her name is Anna Akana, and she's a bisexual Asian woman, and she's, like, on point with how she talks about it, too. Just wanted to plug that.
She has some really good videos.
On mental health, too. Yeah. But I just wanted to drop that, and she recently came out, and she, like, kind of talks about that intersectionality, too, and it's great. So
you're, I feel like that's definitely an intersexuality, I mean, sectionality.
Yeah.
You don't hear about very often, or it's really just pulled upon for, like, porn.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's not treated as human. So that's
sure. Awesome. It sucks.
Yeah.
But it's in blade. It sucks. It sucks to be a porn category.
Yeah.
And I feel like
that's also a good episode title.
Right. Totally. Yes, T. I also feel like it sets unrealistic expectations up for any potential partners that, like, I can do these things. Like I was saying about, like, martial arts and shit. Like, it sets up, like, this idea that I can do things or that I am things. Like, what do you mean you don't like anime? Like, I don't right now. Like, you know, not all Asian people like this or that.
Yeah.
I don't like anime, and I don't want to have my Asian eyes widen over your absurdly large penis.
Right. No, I really.
Which I feel like it's just a whole thing.
It's a whole, that's literally a thing. Yeah.
Sorry that you're a thing.
It's okay. I'll survive.
Yeah. It's just fucked. And what's interesting is, like, that people would consider that kinky or consider that a fetish. Mm-hmm. And the fact that, A, that's, like, to people who are really involved in, like, the kink community, because there's, I mean, everyone has kinks unless, like, your favorite position is missionary and you are a heterosexual cisgender white couple. Who just does those missionary, exist, right?
Shout out to you guys. Love it.
But, like, I feel like it's so diminishing to that community in general, because it's like, oh, we're going to degrade these people. And that's not the case, because I feel like the kink community, the BDSM community, the fetish community, they are oppressed in their own way. Mm-hmm. You know, people who are
right, because it's a deviation.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And so it's like, why would they want to oppress other people, you know? And it just boggles my mind. And it's really unfortunate, because sex should not be this complicated. Like, the idea of sex, sexual orientation, it should just be what it is. And it's something that's so taboo and so politicized, and just, it's just dumb. People should just be able to do what they want, as long as it's safe and consensual. And we shouldn't have to be making episodes on kinks and fetishes. You know what I mean? It should just be like, yeah, this is just
be understood. Yeah.
Yeah. And people shouldn't have to, like, you know, Katie and I are very privileged in that we don't need to worry about, like, our body. Like, we have to worry about our bodies being sexualized, but we don't have to worry about being sexualized because of the color of our skin or our nationality.
Right.
And that's fucked. That's so fucked.
Yeah.
And I'll get off my little
soapbox. That's really fucked. No, second that. In other news, because Google's awesome, I found a thing.
Yeah.
the Fleshlight Chronicles on Instagram. It's a girl named Lillian. And she posts really hot pictures of herself, first of all, like, good for you, girl, with screen grabs of the terrible things people have said to her on Tinder over them. Ooh. Like, the first one, I'll eat your pussy like shrimp fried rice.
Oh, my goodness. It just makes me cringe so bad. Like,
If a man said that to me, it would be one thing, because first of all, I love shrimp fried rice. But yeah, no, that's targeted.
I think I sent you one. I'm trying to find it. Where a guy hit up a girl and said...
and she's an Asian woman as well.
Yes. Wait, no. Did I send that to you? Please hold. I think I sent that to you.
Maybe.
Yep.
I want to absolutely dominate your small Asian body.
That's another thing.
It's really unhealthy.
That's another thing, is that assuming that all Asians, male, female, non-binary, any Asian person is submissive. That's fucked up, especially for Asian men, because they're so demasculinized. And I can't speak to that experience, but it just absolutely sucks. And it's like, comes from being like that whole white savior, like, because we're quote unquote submissive to the white male.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I obviously am not an Asian man, but I just feel, my heart goes out to Asian men who, you know, feel demasculinized because of their skin color and of how other people have talked to them. It's so shitty.
Yeah.
Because, like, Asian men are like other men.
Yeah.
They're just fucking, you know? Yeah. And, like, you never...
First of all, if you've gone through life and you've never met an Asian man that goes to the gym too often and is swole as fuck... Which is definitely reactionary, I think. Like, this is a group of people who have been marginalized, mm-hmm. or told that they're tiny, or told that they're emasculine, yeah. just because of their race. So what they did is they went out to the gym, ate brown rice, broccoli, and chicken, and got fucking swole. Which is such a great way to handle fucking racism. Like, fuck you. Yeah. I'm going to be able to beat you up.
But yes, that is a good point of Asian men being emasculated. And and now I think too, with like K-pop, like those,
it's an interesting, another thing added to the mix.
Those boy band, like K-pop groups that are like the BTS, I think is the one.
BTS. BTS.
They're all somehow hotties who, like, I notice more than I think I would with like a One Direction or et cetera bands. They dress so much better than I do.
Me too. They so do. Their skin is amazing. Right. I don't know what they do.
Korean beauty product.
I seriously don't know what they do. And like, it sucks that in general, guys are, what's the word that is emasculated? Is that the correct word? I don't know which one I said.
To be emasculated.
Emasculated, yeah. For like taking care of their skin and taking care of, you know, which I think a lot of Asian men do, I think, because, okay, TBH, like, that's not even a stereotype. That's just the fact we have great skin. So, yeah.
God forbid you're blessed with better skin than the rest of us. I'm jealous, but, like, damn.
We got all the – maybe that's why we have a porn category, so people can just check out our skin really quick. They're like, oh, what is she using?
If there was, like, skincare porn for Asian women, like, where it was just – a bunch of Korean women, like, washing their face and telling you how they keep it that nice.
That's definitely a thing.
I would watch that.
That'd be amazing. But, yeah, I feel like there's just such this stereotype that all Asians, whether male or female, or whatever, you know what? Regardless of your gender, that you are, like, small. You have clear skin.
Yeah.
And you're into anime.
Yeah. It's like... man.
And you're probably going to med school.
Yeah. I wish I went to med school at this point. But, you know. Oh, I found the meme. Finally. Okay, so a guy hit presumably someone hit someone else up on Instagram and said, hey, you know, I like my women the way I like my barbecue, hot and Korean, kind of like you.
Oh, no.
And then the person replies, I'm Vietnamese. You did that. I'm like, woof.
Yikes.
And that is definitely the experience I'm at. Like,
well, yeah, you should have changed it to soup and then it would still apply.
No, that's
right. Exactly.
So what is the worst date that you've ever been on?
I don't. This doesn't have anything to do with being Asian. This just has to do with it being
everybody goes on bad dates, even Asian people.
Oh yeah, even us, for real. Okay, so this was, I think, Tinder before I turned 18.
Okay.
So this was a weird time because 17 is the age of consent. So this guy wasn't, you know, he wasn't. And I think he was just not that much older than me. He was still in his teen years. And we met up at City Diner. It's no longer City Diner, but it's down on Grand.
Oh, so you were at SLU at this point.
Yeah, I was at SLU at this point. And we met up and it was just, we weren't looking at each other when we were talking. When the menus went away, it was just, everything was lost. We had nothing else to look at but each other. And I could tell he was getting a little nervous. Mm-hmm. He just leaves to go to the bathroom. And I'm like, oh God. I don't know what's going on. And I'm sitting there and I got like ice cream waffles and I wasn't about to eat before he, you know, before he got to eat his food. Cause I'm not like that. I wait. So by the time he comes back, he's out of breath for some reason. He's like, I got called into work. I'm like, okay. He throws a 20 on the table and then he leaves. And I was like, okay, well, I have two ice cream waffles here. So, and a 20, so he paid. So then I call up my friend and I said, hey, I got two ice cream waffles here. This guy left in the middle of my date. Want a cup? She's like, sure. So then she comes through. She's on her way. And then this guy.
Call him Waffle Boy.
Waffle Boy. Waffle Boy calls me. He's like, hey, I got work off. Okay, so he left in a midst of anxiety to go to work. And then he said, oh, I got work off. And he's like, I'm on my way back. And I'm like, are you serious right now? So then I'm frantically texting my friend. I'm like, don't go, don't come. He's coming back. So he comes back, sits down across from me with the melted ice cream waffle, and he starts eating. And I'm like, oh my God. My friend didn't reply. She comes in and she's like, oh, hey, sees both of us. Pauses and proceeds to sit down.
Oh God.
She sits down. I'm on a date with two people now. And then the server comes around and is like, oh, do you want a menu? And I'm like, please. She's like, yeah, I'll take the menu. Are you freaking kidding me? I'm like, for real? And like, he's eating his ice cream waffle. Mine is empty because I ate all of it. He puts the 20 back in his pocket. Yeah. He theoretically had paid and unpaid. And so my waffle girl looks at both of us. She's like, okay, I'm going to go.
Did she eat?
No, she didn't. She like folds the menu up and she's like, I'm going to go. And she walks out. And then so the server comes by super confused, picks up the menu, both empty plates. And she puts the check down. He's like, you going to get that?
What? Did you?
Yeah. I did.
No.
And that is my worst date.
That's
pretty bad. Oh.
With two people paid for it after he had left in the middle after theoretically paying for it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah. That's pretty bad.
Sounds terrible.
Pretty bad. Yeah.
Were the ice cream waffles good though?
They were. I can't confirm that they were, even though his was like melted and he ate it anyway.
Would Leslie know?
And I paid for both,
right? You know,
that was the worst. That was record breaking worst.
That's proof that was bad.
Yep.
Thanks. What have you ever been on a terrible date that did center around you being Asian?
You know what? I actually don't. I don't think so because I didn't let it get to a date.
Okay.
Yeah. It would have been like a Tinder message or two and I could tell.
Yeah.
You know, like it would be a Tinder message and I could like tell that it's because of that because they'll bring it up.
Yeah.
They'll bring it up right away because they think it's a compliment. Yeah.
And what, like, what are
sometimes it's like, oh, you're pretty for an Asian girl. Like, shit like that.
Oh,
sometimes it's stuff like, yes. And, like, that's just, that's mean, too. Like, mean. Or, like, the girl who's, like, because she messaged me. She's like, wow, you're so pretty. And I'm like, that's probably because you said in your profile, swipe right if you're Asian. Like, that's probably why.
I think I'm pretty. See, right?
Yeah, it's probably because I'm Asian. It's just... And definitely, it's definitely different having a preference versus because the whole yellow fever thing is unfortunately real because you know you can tell when a guy is talking to you because you're Asian.
That's fucked up.
Because they'll bring it up. And that's the fucked up part is that they'll like talk to you about being Asian as if that's my personality trait. Like, it's not.
So, one of the core tenets of my personality is I live to please you because I'm of a certain race and orientation. Great.
Oh, yeah. I'm ENFPA, you know, ENFP Asian. Yep, that's me.
Jesus Christ.
Well,
how I love how shitty people especially
right now. We've just learned if you're a shitty person, you're like, I just want an Asian girl because I'll eat her pussy like shrimp fried rice. Don't bring it up or you won't even get on the date, stupid.
Right.
So maybe you should rethink so you're not fetish because it's not a fetish.
Yeah, it's just wrong. It's literally wrong. It's like a form of racism.
It is.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't even know what it's called, but it's not a fetish. It's just a form of racism. Yeah, racism. I can't speak English anymore. It's probably because I'm Asian. Oh.
Basically. Yeah, to summarize, guys, people aren't kinks. Kinks aren't people.
Yeah, we're not.
Fetishizing human beings because of their orientation, gender, race, profession, previous partners. Because I once had a guy literally ask me, have you ever fucked a black guy? And I had not.
Whoa.
And it was because he, like... wanted to think about that as he fucked me. Did we even have sex? No.
Well,
because he
just like, how did he think that question was gonna go? Like, you know, like that's gonna turn you on, that's gonna like, turn him on. Like, what?
What? No. And like, I have definitely made a joke or two about God's chosen people choosing me in regards to like, fucking a Jewish guy or like me liking black guys or like made fun of friends. She really likes black guys, but like those are jokes. Those aren't real. So I'm really sad that this is like a real issue in your life because people and do you think that people making jokes about these things perpetuates it and makes it worse?
I think people making jokes about it raises awareness to that it's wrong.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is weird, but like making a joke about like a guy only liking me because I'm Asian, you know that sounds right. Fucked up.
That's, the, like, that's what makes the joke
there's no
funny.
Merit. Right. Which is, yeah, exactly. And I think it's okay to joke about because it's so inherently wrong.
Fuck yeah.
So me personally, I'm okay with it. Some other people might be really hurt by it, you know, as it is with any. You know, any sort of
human. No, you said so. It's okay now, right? Right?
Right. Right.
Oh, yeah. I speak for everyone.
She's spoken for everyone. But yeah. That's a good thing to keep in your pocket, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that is fucked up. Like,
I mean, I think it also, it like kind of breaks the ice because if you make a joke about it, then people are like, wait, what? And you can have those hard conversations.
Exactly.
But without being like, super dark about it.
Right,
and
right.
That helps people learn to unlearn their bad behavior because if they feel like they're defense or they have like they're put on the defensive, they're less likely to like change.
That's so true. Yeah, it helps bring down those walls. And that's why I use humor so much for things like that because I feel like it kind of also shows me where the other person is at. With, you know, their levels of ignorance and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
So I'm I'm still proud of my culture and who I am. It just like sucks that other people aren't understanding that I'm not every culture.
There are so many billions of Asian people.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm obviously a representative for all of them.
So, yeah, you're definitely representative of the billions and billions of Asian people on this planet. It's you. You're one and the same. Well, I feel like that was a good conversation. Do we have any other questions or notes? Do you have anything else you want to say?
Just one last. No, I just have actually two things. And I don't know if you want to edit this or put this around. But something that I wanted to say before, and then I just like lost it because we were talking about something else. On terms of getting...
Hold on, Rocky is shifting.
On terms of kind of getting sexualized for my orientation. So I had an ex and I asked him... This is just a weird question in general, but I asked him when I was dating him and committed to him, I was like, what would you think if, like, I hooked up with this girl? And he said, well, I wouldn't be okay with you hooking up with a guy, but I'd be okay with you hooking up with a girl.
Ooh.
Oh.
Right, Rocky? Yeah, that's some stuff. And... that was something weird of a concept to me. And I've had more than one guy say that it's different. Yeah. Because it's like, there's like a perception that it's not as serious if it's with a girl.
Masturbation fodder.
And it's not right. Oh, yeah. And he's like, no, that's hot. And I was like, why is this weird now? Like, I mean, like, you could have just said, like, yeah, that's fine or no. But I'm like, now it's like... I don't know. That is just something I wanted to dip in there.
That's a fair point. And I think Rocky would agree.
Yeah, he would.
He's a thirsty boy.
He is thirsty McThirsterson.
Skeet, skeet.
But that is something I wanted to bring up because...
Oh. Now he's licking his own dick.
He is licking his own dick.
Man, men everywhere are jealous.
That is just something I wanted to bring up because I thought it was
true. That is super fun.
I was listening to an episode of a podcast and they talked about open relationship. Like, it's a couple that was in an open relationship. Right. And the woman, she's bisexual. Mm-hmm. And he brought up a very interesting point because he said that when it comes to her, like, being with another woman, like, it doesn't bother him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's, like, all for it, whatever. And he's like, but there hasn't been another man in the situation. And he's like, that's something that, like, with my upbringing, I need to kind of unlearn, which I was like, first of all, where do I get a partner, like, this woke?
So
and
open.
He was like, you know, I grew up in a Christian, like, Catholic household and told that, like, men are my competition. And he's like, you know, when I don't, it's not that I don't see women as a threat. It's just, if you were to leave me for a woman, it would feel different than if you left me for a man. Cause it would feel more like I was inadequate because he was like, obviously a woman's going to give you many
a different comparison.
Yeah.
That's very true.
And I was like, that's really interesting.
I've been semi grappling with that lately.
I think that's the appropriate way to handle it versus being like,
it's hot for you to be with a woman.
Yeah.
It's like, cause that's fetishizing you as a bisexual.
I mean, personally think it's hot to be with someone who has done what I'm doing to them. Like has sucked a dick before. I find that interesting. That adds a level of like understanding and like mutual experience that I find attractive, but it's not like, oh, you sucked a dick. Oh my God.
Yeah. I think also, cause now you're like, you get it. I think that's why it's hot is because, and also it's breaking down those barriers of toxic masculinity, which to me is super sexy. Like a man who can acknowledge toxic masculinity to me is so hot because like, I think that if I was with someone and they were like, yeah, I sucked a dick and they like were out and proud about it, I'd be like, that's probably one of the hottest things I've ever heard.
It's badass.
I personally,
It's a different concept. Yeah.
And I think that that's how it should be. It should be more empowering, and rather than being like, that's hot because you're bisexual. Like,
right. It's an empowering thing. I gotcha. Yeah, no, totally.
So I'm sorry that you have been
That's okay.
fetishized both by your race and your sexual orientation.
That's, yeah.
We had a whole ass episode on bisexuality for Pride Month.
We can just do another one because it was a really weird episode. It was in the early days. Yeah. So we can do another one. I think it'd be interesting to like really have another conversation with you specifically about bisexuality.
Yeah.
And what it means to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, Leanne is just going to be a consistent guest because she will be on a later episode talking about mental health.
I didn't mean to make that noise. I just love mental health.
Yeah. As two nurses who work in mental health and two people who have mental health issues and are both very passionate about it, it's pretty exciting. So cute. But we are going to have a two-parter on ableism here in the future.
Like, I think the near future.
Yes, and Leanna will be present for but yeah, so I think that's all the questions that I have.
Yeah, I think we're going to take another break, and then we'll be back with happy endings and listener mail and other warm fuzzies. BRB, guys. Bitch, she's back.
Hey. So I have this book and I got it Secret Santa last year.
Yeah, and we said on the last episode we were going to read from it and then we got distracted and didn't. So now you're getting it now.
Yeah, so I'm going to start reading little blurbs each episode until this book runs out. So I found one that it's not pertinent to this at all. It's just funny and one of my favorites. So this book, for those who are interested, is called New Erotica for Feminists, Satirical Fantasies of Love, Lust, and Equal Pay. And it is hilarious. I have it on my coffee table. And so that's great. When people come and visit my apartment, they're like, what? New Erotica for Feminists.
It's a good conversation starter.
Right? It really is. I also have a graph, like a print of vaginas. Yeah. So
really set the tone for the experience.
Yeah, it's a very sex pause place for all the sex that I'm no longer having here. Yikes. Anyway, so let me read some erotica for feminists. Because if you read ahead, then you're
– Okay, I won't read ahead.
You'll laugh out loud. Okay. I slink into the bedroom ready to surprise my partner with my brand new fire engine red lingerie. Everything is on display. And I can't wait for them to take me in. Their eyes slide slowly over my body before stopping abruptly at my feet. Take everything off, they say, except those shoes. They make me crazy. Maybe it is fitting. I peel it all off, leaving only my comfy 9-year-old Birkenstocks.
Sexy.
Oh my God, I need to take a picture of that. That's funny.
And that, I love that. Is the tea.
That is the MFT.
Looking for a partner that just wants my raggedy feet all over them. After wearing
my friend just sent me a picture of her Birks tan.
Nice.
She's got bright red Birks tan.
Ooh, ow.
Ooh. Yeah.
So Birks sunbird.
Sunbird.
Ooh, hey.
That's honey. It do it too. It do it too.
Bless. So, there's that.
And there's dating and race and whatever we were supposed to talk about today. Yeah. But now we're going to talk about what are your happy endings, guys? What makes your world go around this week?
Okay, I guess I'll start. Yes, please. I saw Blink-182 yesterday, which is such a happy – and then I'm going to see Mayday Parade. in November. And I thought this would be very fitting for Katie. And then in next August, we got the Hella Mega Tour with Green Day, Fall Out Boy, and Weezer, which is going to be amazing.
Are you going to the one in Chicago?
Yes, the one in Chicago is the one I will go to. And I will call off work years in advance.
Pretty much.
Years in advance. And like I want to have a little high school reunion of all my emo friends. Like it'll be a time.
I guess that's also my happy ending because we will be going there
emo
as well.
Emo as fuck. Yeah.
I know. I'm so glad emo has stayed in the – come back to the mainstream.
Yes. I'm so glad that Kelsey had – she bought – she pre-ordered the CD or whatever. So she gets the
– so she gets the early pre-order tickets.
Yeah.
What a pal. What a friend. What a dream.
Wow. And then she just messages us, how many tickets am I getting? Like a fucking hero.
Like it's not a question. Yeah, no. We're going. First of all, it's literally August 2020.
Yeah, I'm planning.
It's August 13th, 2020, and it's Fall Out Boy, which means that that the Denny's crew has to go.
Yeah.
So
I love
That's my shit. I'm actually this Friday going to emo night.
We should go to emo night at Tin Roof.
Yeah, I've been to emo night at Tin Roof. I've gone alone almost all the time.
Well, let's go together.
Yes. Because and especially if people are going to emo night, they don't come up to you and start dancing with you. You know, it's like a good crowd.
Yeah, it's the people you want to be around.
People will like scream lyrics at
you.
You're
that extroverted that you go out alone.
Oh, yeah.
And I am impressed.
I am impressed with that. Last time I went to an emo night, it was at a bar in the suburbs, and I was with like a big group that included my boyfriend at the time, and I got a man to buy me two drinks that I just handed over to the boyfriend.
That's a flex. True. Love
like, it. He's like, oh, can I get you a drink? I was like, could I get two drinks for me and a friend? And then I talked to him for 5 minutes, and then I went back, and I was like, hey, babe, here's your drink.
That's so funny.
That's amazing.
Love it.
Yeah.
Your happy ending, Katie?
Yeah, what's your happy ending?
My happy ending is that I had a super productive weekend of like doing weird adulting things. I'm sitting in front of three piles of clothing that need to go to a donation center. Yay. And they've been divided into homeware fabrics, clothing, and then recyclable clothing. And I learned that you can recycle clothing at your local H&M. They will give you a discount on your next purchase when you give them a bag.
They do, yes.
So definitely keep that in mind if you have any clothes that have like holes in them or anything like irredeemable, could not be reworn. A lot of the stuff is just like really old or doesn't fit. So that stuff is going to go to the Goodwill and the other stuff is going to get me a discount at H&M.
Amazing.
And then I also went out and bought candles because that's a thing that I like to do, and which includes a Lizzo prayer votive so I can pray to be my own soulmate. And yeah, I'm just feeling
here for it.
Productive.
Proud of you.
Yeah.
I've put too much money on my credit card. Story of my life.
Yeah.
But I've just accepted that.
It's fine.
Yeah. I'm gonna get another tattoo next weekend. So
it's fine.
Might as well. Hey, why not?
Credit card statements are for like month by month. Tattoos are forever.
Exactly. Yeah. So Katie, we have a listener mail.
We have a listener mail that is pertinent to this conversation.
So let's crank that bad boy out.
Yes. So this is from an anonymous listener. So I was dating this guy. I knew him for like 3 years and nothing happened romantically, but he was always nice. Then one night, our senior year of college, we actually got to flirting and ended up going out a couple times. And eventually we had generally good sex. We were cuddling afterwards, and amidst pillow talk, he let it be known that he always had wanted to fuck a Jew.
Oh my goodness.
And then 3 weeks later, he completely ghosted me and started dating one of my sorority sisters and for the rest of our college careers. So that was weird. But he then sent me a note a year ago via Facebook Messenger that said, And I think she like straight up copied this, which is hilarious. "Hey, I know you probably have no reason to hear from me, but you do deserve an apology because I was a straight up dick to you and you didn't deserve that. You were kind wow. and honestly a great person to me. And for some reason, I was an ass. I'm sorry. Hope things are going well for you."
Wow.
I mean, that's good.
That's so good.
Right? So it was bad. Oh. It's real bad. But then he redeemed himself a little bit.
Yeah. Leveled up.
He leveled up. But yeah, you should definitely not be lying there naked with your partner and be like, "I always wanted to fuck someone of your race." Yeah.
Always wanted to fuck an Asian. Yep.
That's... Leanna, would you be more mad if you got through the date, fucked the person, and then, like, you wake up in the morning, the sun is gleaming and shining through the window, and you're like, "I always wanted a fucking Asian girl."
And you're like, "I hate everything."
Then it'd be like, yeah. I'd be like, "Should have known. Should have known from the first message." Because usually you can read it, but at that moment, yes, I would be way more angry.
Yeah, this guy long conned it. Fuck that. Well, thank you for that listener submission.
But at least it was like a nice little turnaround and he learned
that is really nice.
His shitty behavior and apologized.
Yeah, so like positive. Bad date, good story. Redeemed. Yeah.
So with that, if you would like to submit your own worst date, horror story, sex mishap, or boner blunder, feel free to submit named or anonymous stories to 50worstdatespodcast@gmail.com or slide on right into our DMs at 50worstdatespod on Instagram.
It feels so good.
Mine
to slide
is,
in.
Right? Mm. my Instagram is Pikachu, which is my last name, and then Chu18.
Mine is Katie Coyle 27. And Leanna, what's yours?
Mine is Leanna Del Rey, LeiannaDelRey. Oh my
God. Like Lana Del Rey, but better.
Yeah.
If you think that we are valid sources for advice, which we absolutely are, and want to ask questions or ask Leanna questions and have her come back on the podcast, we will take those emails or DMs as well.
Random. So I'm currently in this like Facebook group that's like supports ladies supporting ladies. And there's this girl who posted about a psychic telling her to break up with her boyfriend.
Amazing.
And I was able to provide an exact scenario where a psychic told me to break up with my boyfriend.
So, wow. Is this the 23-year-old bad bitch?
Yes. So even if you think that your story is weird and out there, you never know what we've been through. We could provide really, really pertinent advice. And I told her, I didn't break up with the boyfriend because the psychic told me to, but she did read my body language, the way I talked about myself and the way I talked about him, and then decided to really push that button. But also, I broke up with him because he was a piece of shit anyways. Right. Hello.
It may not even have been a psychic thing. Just like, dude, just break up with your boyfriend.
It's
like,
a good idea.
Break up with your boyfriend.
The psychic was the ethos, but
Ooh.
The logos was all there.
We're
you
getting
know?
Literary now.
Our goal with these future episodes, after stories that are not our own, maybe a psychic did tell you to break up with your boyfriend and we'll talk about your story and not mine. Because we haven't been on that many bad dates, thank goodness. But I did. We're going to do a Halloween episode that's really crazy shit. And I have a really good one that I'm excited about.
Bless. And I can talk about that time I made out with a Tide Pod.
Yes. We're going to have a Halloween horror story episode. So if you have some really wild ones.
Emphasis on horror.
Horror. Exactly. It's going to be a pun and Halloween themed. So if you have really crazy Halloween stories, I have one about someone who is legitimately stabbed someone, and then another one that's just a good walk of shame. But we're going to tell those stories. Please submit yours if you have them. It'll be super fun.
It will. And we are going to have a special guest for one of our Halloween themes, and I'm pretty stoked about it. He has no idea, and it's going to be exciting.
He's a hoot.
He is.
He's one of my best friends, and he's a hoot.
And you know, because we're spooky bitches, we can't just have one Halloween episode.
You know we're going to have multiple, baby.
You know it's going to be kind of like Pride Month, but a little less crazy. If you love our music, it's from bensound.com. And if you love our cover art, it's by Tori Scranton. You can find her at tscrantonart on Instagram and Etsy. If you'd like to be featured in our artist ad that I think should have ran today, hit us up if you do art and shit and would like us to promote you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Thank you, Leanna, for being on.
Thank you, Leanna, for being on. Is there anything that you're doing or that you want to plug? Maybe that Q-Poc?
Oh, like Tupac? I think I have a tape coming out soon.
A tape?
Yeah, mixtape. I'm working on it now.
My name is Leanna. Welcome to your tape.
Once it's actually finished, it will be finished. Shout out to my favorite doctor resident at our workplace. She'll know.
Yeah, so follow her on Instagram so you can keep up with that.
Follow me on Instagram. Keep up with my mixtape. It will be for absolutely no monetary gain, but my excitement. I literally have a song called Bubble Tea, so let me just reinforce my Asian stereotypes. So that'll be going your way.
Bubble Tea is worth writing songs about.
Yeah.
And that's our show. Ooh.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on, Leanna. Yeah, follow us, bitches. Send us shit. See you next week.
Bye.
Goodbye.